All right, well, good morning, everyone. It's great to have you all listening this morning. I'm Allison Wentley. I'm a manager here at KPMG, where I have the great pleasure of supporting a number of our industry leaders. Today, I have the good fortune of being joined by Glenn Mincy. He is our global and U.S. private equity leader. Angie Gildy, who leads our U.S. energy, natural resources, and chemicals industry practice. And Mark Gibson, who leads our US technology, media, and telecommunications team. All three of them will be at KPMG's Global Energy Transformation Conference happening in Houston on November 2nd and in person. That's going to include tons of in-depth conversations about the energy transformation that is underway. However, over the next 25 minutes or so, we're going to focus on the roles of private equity, tech, and of course, the energy sector in the energy transformation. Before we get to that, I do want to remind everyone they can ask questions by tapping the microphone button or direct messaging us at KPMG US News to request to speak. We will be stopping periodically throughout the conversation to see if there are questions, and we certainly welcome participation from the audience. Additionally, this is being recorded and a replay will be available after the conversation. And for those listening who are in the media, this is an on-record conversation. You can use any of what is discussed today for your reporting, as stated a moment ago. And with that, enough from me. I'm going to begin by turning it to Glenn and ask you, Glenn. Sorry. Glenn, what is driving valuations in energy? I know there's a lot of different factors going in, and I just wanted to ask you first, as our private equity lead, and Angie, please do feel free to chime in as well. Do we have Glenn? If not, Angie, I will welcome you to answer as well.
Yeah, well, good morning, Allison. Thank you. If you're talking about traditional energy, oil and gas assets, one of the things that we've seen over the past, year in 2022 is valuations are a bit tricky right now. Historically, what we've seen is valuations for traditional assets being tied to the price of oil. So as oil price increases, valuations increase, and as prices decrease, you see the valuations decrease. That hasn't really been the case this year. It's been a bit more decoupled. So it remains to be seen if this is just a result of the environment that we're in today or if it's part of a long-term trend. But if you look at the valuations across the spectrum, when you start looking at some of the lower carbon investments, we're just seeing investors pour an enormous amount of equity and debt into low carbon investment areas.
And kind of to that point, I know there's been a ton of conversation, especially recently, on balancing the energy needs of today with investing in our low carbon future. What do you think our energy mix looks like? And, are we investing enough, or are there other areas where companies should be thinking about?
Well, it's definitely not an either or as it relates to sources of energy. I mean, the reality is, in order for us to have a energy mix that is affordable, that is reliable, that we have energy security, and is also sustainable, for the future, in terms of what's good for our climate, it's going to require a mix of uses. So, I don't think it's an either or. I think one of the things that has been a positive over the last several months is the conversation around energy security, energy affordability has come into the mix in addition to sustainability. And we really have to keep all of those in mind as we chart the path forward.
Absolutely. And I believe Glenn got reconnected. So, Glenn, definitely want to open the floor for you to chime in too.
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know if there was a question that I missed, but I mean, I could talk about, I mean, do you want to hear just, about, private equity and what's going on with this topic?
And we've been kind of talking about what's been driving valuations, especially just with so much going on in energy right now and investments in renewables, investments in oil and gas. Would love to hear your insights.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So look, forecasters, we've all seen this, right? They've put the price tag for the global transition to a low carbon economy at $100 trillion over the next 30 years. And there seems to be increasing concern in some circles that, projected changes by 2050 may not be fast enough. So that $100 trillion, if you believe it, but whatever portion of it, it frankly can't come from governments. It needs to come from private investment. And it's been building for some time, which I think you guys were alluding to. We've all seen those other reports that discuss the numbers over the past decade. PE has, they've PE funds have collectively invested more than $1 trillion in energy companies. And, the lion's share is clearly going to oil, gas, and coal, as well as you've seen in the media. The so-called brown assets that publicly traded companies have offloaded. And then if you look just over the past year, in energy transition and climate tech, and just as you were saying, that attracted $900 billion. The numbers are staggering, just over the past year. And so it, in renewables, as you mentioned, that was about maybe $400 billion last year. But the big growth distinction for PE is really electrified transport, and that was around $300 billion last year. So, and what's really become a familiar story is that everyone is chasing the same assets. It's venture, it's VC, it's pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, infrastructure funds. Even before we talk about traditional energy firms, everybody's looking at similar deals. And when any attractive renewable asset comes up for sale, dozens of bidders come out of the woodwork. So the competition is really fierce. The fund PE funds are facing really stiff competition for those transition assets, from oil majors and national oil companies. And oftentimes those traditional companies have a lower cost of capital. But that's really what's it's everybody chasing the same deals. That's what's driving valuations.
Thank you for that, Glenn. And because you mentioned climate tech, I definitely want to bring Mark into the conversation. But I first want to pause because I know we have media on and remind everyone that this is an on-record conversation and that anyone who has a question is welcome to either tap the microphone button or DM us at KPNG US News, and we'll be happy to take your question. But because you did mention climate tech, I did want to open the floor to Mark, who for about months and months, I've heard you kind of talk about this concept of tech as a horizontal. So, Mark, I want to hear kind of your perspective on how tech is playing a role in the energy transformation.
Yeah, thanks, Allison, and great to be on with you and Angie and Glenn. This concept of tech as a horizontal, I think the illustration of that in the energy sector is one of the best illustrations of what we're talking about, which is, our Silicon Valley, West Coast tech practice, clients, markets, infrastructure that we've had in place for years and years is really reaching out into other sectors these days. And the investment answer that Glenn just gave is such a perfect setup to this conversation around where the investment is and where the tech R&D is being spent. And it really is disproportionately now focused on the energy sector, clean tech, how do we build for the future? And it comes in a lot of phases. One of the things that we're seeing huge investment in startup tech is around monitoring and measuring technology companies that are being birthed just to measure emissions as companies make pledges. Sort of how do they know what their emissions are? How do they know when they've reached the goals? And that requires monitoring technology. It requires new technology that doesn't exist today. So a huge segment of the tech sector that didn't even exist today. We're seeing huge developments around blockchain technology, scope 3 emissions, those types of things to help measure as well. And then we're seeing massive partnerships between, you know, what I always call old energy and the new tech sector as they work together to build towards the future that Glenn and Angie both talked about. So lots of strategic partnerships, echoing everything Glenn said about private equity, venture capital. We're also seeing the big tech firms make similar investments with strategic partnerships, buying minority stakes, investing into the clean tech sector as well to position not only themselves for the future, but also sort of their place in that that clean energy sector of the future. So the tech sector is all in on this. You know, the fact that we're doing a huge tech panel at the energy conference next month, I think, is an indication of how our firm views it from the tech sector, and really a great illustration of how tech is sort of cutting across the energy sector these days.
Absolutely. And I know Angie has mentioned many times that the energy transformation is going to certainly require a cross-industry approach. So Angie, I know you had a few points that you wanted to pick back up on that Glenn had made. So opening the floor back to you.
Yeah, just going back to something, you know, Glenn had said around the scale of the investment that's going to be required. You know, the IEA put out something not too long ago around 2050 scenarios and getting to net zero. And for the world to stay on the 1.5 degrees Celsius goal that was agreed to by the Paris Agreement, it's going to require, according to the IEA, $4.3 trillion of annual investment in clean energy and in the decarbonization space. And right now, the current investments are around a trillion, $1.4 trillion per year. So that's almost a $3 trillion gap of annual investment that's going to be required. It is perhaps one of the largest investment opportunities certainly in my lifetime and many others. So I think this is going to be a huge opportunity, very cross-functional, multiple sectors, multiple asset classes. I mean, the scale is just absolutely enormous.
And Angie, I think that's a great point. It also feels to me like the timing is now, that for the last decade, this has been on the agenda, but sort of down the list a bit about something that a lot of companies are going to be focused on sometime in the future. We've really seen a shift in the last 2-3 years to where this is elevated to the top of the priority list. And I think, you know, it's time for action. And that's what we're seeing in the market today.
I think you're right, Mark. You know, as an energy person, I always get asked, I got asked as COVID was happening, you know, what do you think this is going to do to the energy transition, transformation? Do you think it'll slow down or speed up the move to net zero? And what we saw was there was a continued increase of focus. Then we had the Russia-Ukraine crisis, and I got asked the same question. Now we have, you know, some questions around the global economy and a potential, you know, fear of a recession. What's that? I think we will continue to see the momentum is just too large. We are going to continue to see just massive investments in this area and massive technology advancements as well.
And speaking of fears of recession, I know earlier this month we had some KPMG US CEO Outlook data come out, and a staggering 70% of US CEOs surveyed connected ESG with improved financial performance. However, when asked, you know, should a recession come, measures that they would take, they about 59% did say that they would pause on their ESG measures or at least reconsider them. To that point, I want to bring this back to Mark on kind of how tech can really help companies meet their ESG targets, and kind of getting back to that conversation about measuring data and the role that blockchain technology and all of these different kind of buzzwords to me can play.
Yeah, I really think there's been some prominent speakers out there that make points about how the innovation that Angie mentioned is the key to this. To get where this sector is trying to go by 2050 and points along the way. It's going to take technology advancements that don't exist today. And that's what excites me as someone that practices in the tech sector full time, is to see this startup infrastructure, to see the R&D investment that's pouring into this area, whether it's monitoring, whether it's how we dispose of waste. It's technology advancements that have to be developed in order to meet those goals. And so that's the intersection, I think, that makes me most excited. While some CEOs were talking about, you know, if a recession hits or if the economy slows further, that they might pull back a bit on their ESG investment, I think we're seeing other parts of the tech sector going all in on the innovation that will need to drive the change that's required. So I actually looked at that question in a little bit different ways. I agree wholeheartedly with Angie's point about the COVID acceleration has started a new journey that will only continue to accelerate with advancement, innovation. And some of the key thinkers that used to work only for the big tech companies we're seeing get lucrative offers to go work on the R&D and innovation that's required to bring about the clean energy goals that are out there. So the war for talent is moving in this direction as well, which is always encouraging to me.
Absolutely. And knowing that we're about 15 minutes in, I do want to again remind media, this is an on record discussion. And if you have any questions that you'd like to ask some of our speakers, please do feel free to DM us at KPMG US News or by simply tapping your microphone button. Do want to shift focus a little bit to our Global Energy Transformation Conference happening in just about 2 weeks on November 2nd. I know Mark, Glenn, and Angie will all be hosting sessions and panels there. Angie will be pretty much hosting the entire thing. But Angie, I would like to open the floor for you to kind of give everybody a preview of the conference and the level of the conversations to expect there.
Yeah, you know, this is our 19th year hosting an energy conference. When we took a look about coming back post-COVID and rethinking our event, one of the areas obviously that was on everyone's mind was this energy transformation. And we call it a transformation versus a transition because our view is it's going to take a multitude of energy sources. The other thing that we were mindful of is what we've been talking about. It's a cooperation across multiple sectors. And so we've opened it up this year. We've got panelists from automotive. We've got energy companies representing oil and gas, power utilities, metals and mining. We have PE firms and banks that are sitting on our panel, as well as insurance companies. You know, that's another component around managing through from an energy transformation standpoint. And so we'll have several breakouts focused on specific journeys across the energy transition. We'll have some breakouts devoted to sector, and then we'll also have some panelists talk about the measurement, the reporting, and then some of the enabling aspects of the energy transition. So really looking forward to it. It's at the Post Oak Hotel, which is a fabulous venue in Houston, and would just invite everyone to attend.
Awesome. And I know I'm personally very much looking forward to it. And Glenn, I believe you're back on, kind of just to go over the conversation that you may have missed. We've been talking a ton about technology and its role in the energy transformation, but I know private equity plays a big role in funding some of that. So I want to open the floor back to you if you're able.
Ironically, you know, we're talking about tech when Twitter keeps knocking me off of this conversation. So, I agree with Mark's comments about innovation, and you know, private equity has just a history and reputation of being really innovative and really being nimble. You know, some of the areas where the money is going, you know, the innovation is really needed. And there's a clear need for development, and you know, storage is a perfect example. You know, some of the sources of renewable energy don't produce all day long, right? So the industry has a really, really particular need to find ways to store energy in order to transition to cleaner and affordable and reliable energy systems. PE is also pouring capital into solar, carbon capture, and making really dramatic improvements in technology. And if you think about it, we all know this, improvements in technology really bring costs down significantly, right? I've heard a statistic that every time solar energy doubles, you know, the price divides by half, right? And over the past decade, solar power has become 95% cheaper. So those innovations in technology are really going to, you know, they're going to spur this industry. Onshore and offshore wind projects, they're producing cheaper electricity than they have in the past. And then keep in mind, PE always invests in tangential activity. So even outside of energy generation, they're looking at clean tech applications like, you know, in energy conservation, water purification, waste management, and, you know, even retrofitting buildings with clean energy technology. Transport's been really, really big in PE. One of our clients, the largest PE funds, has built, you know, hundreds of miles of underground electronic transmission lines that span across countries in North America. It's very clear that, you know, that innovation is and technology are really the key for the future here.
Absolutely. And I cannot believe that we've gotten about 20 minutes in without mentioning the Inflation Reduction Act. But given that that passed a few months ago now, definitely want to open the floor to all of you on what you're seeing with clients and just how that's kind of impacting investments in the energy transformation.
I can start from a energy perspective. I think there were some really positive things about the Inflation Reduction Act. You know, the one of the key components of that that's a positive is around the transferability of tax credits. So you can now pass the tax credit on to another party. And I think that's going to certainly help with some of the economics of some of these deals. So we should see some deals take advantage of that as a result. Glenn mentioned storage. Changes in how the storage credit is happening. Previously, that was we saw storage configured tied, you know, to things like solar in order to take advantage of the solar credit. Now that we've got a specific credit for storage, I think we're going to see some different configurations for the storage. And so that's a positive. The other thing is that's been a positive from the perspective of my clients is the investment tax credits have been extended into the 2030s. So that gives, as you're building some of these long-term projects, that gives you a little more certainty around the economics. And then certainly credits around things like hydrogen, carbon sequestration, all of that is very positive. I would be remiss if I wasn't an energy if I'm an energy person, I'd be remiss not to mention one thing that wasn't included in the Inflation Reduction Act is around the permitting. And that's something that's key. If we're going to have an accelerated growth around the energy transformation and continue to provide reliable and secure existing energy to our citizens, we do need a permitting process that's efficient and effective.
Absolutely. And Glenn, also definitely want to open the floor to hear anything that you've been hearing from clients or what you've seen in the past few months since the Inflation Reduction Act has passed.
Yeah, I certainly agree with everything Angie said about the beneficial provisions and the incentives in the IRA. There are a number of provisions that really encourage investment in the industry. I think the elephant in the room is that, it's been well reported, is that certain provisions were negative to asset management, for example, were taken out. But I think it's more apt to, you know, to simply state that the provisions are really beneficial to and encouraging of investment overall in the space. And I think that's a good thing. You know, I made the earlier point that the transition is forecast to cost $100 trillion. Regulatory pressure and government incentive isn't going to get you there. But, it, you know, it certainly helps that everything's moving in the same direction. And it's only when individual companies really push independently and they believe in the value and they believe in the value here that meaningful change can really occur.
Absolutely. And I cannot believe that it's already been 25 minutes of this conversation. It's been wonderful. I do want to remind everyone that this is an on-record conversation. For those of you in the media, this is your last chance to ask any questions. Otherwise, I do want to close out by reminding everyone of the Global Energy Transformation Conference happening November 2nd in Houston. We're very excited to be in person again, but want to open the floor one last time for any questions from the audience.
And Allison, while we're waiting, I could throw in one final point. And Mark had touched on this before with, you know, with tech and data. There's a crucial need for consistent data. I think everyone in the industry would say that. We've heard clients state that, you know, ESG is a full contact sport. It's with questions and criteria coming from all different directions. Investors, they have all these different questionnaires, portfolio companies have all different data they collect in different forms and different levels of reliability, and everyone needs it immediately. So the, you know, that topic is just ripe for conversation, but we should certainly reiterate it.
I very much appreciate you making that point, Glenn, and I know in the coming months we may see a finalized proposal from the SEC on the proposed climate rules, which I know have kind of aimed to bring comparable data and solve for some of that, but very much appreciate that point, Glenn, and thank you all. I think Mark wants to chime in as well on that.
I was just going to thank Glenn for setting up the panel that I'm hosting at the Energy Conference with the data conversation. One of our panelists is in that space, and look forward to that. I also want to thank Angie and congratulate her 19 years of this conference and has been a huge success, I think, for the entire energy sector, and to see this conference sort of keep up with the transformation that we're seeing in the world and have people like Glenn and I a part of that conference, I think will really enrich that. So really hope others can attend and take advantage of the conversations we'll be having.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. And again, thank you to everyone for listening in today. And Mark, Angie, and Glenn, it has been a pleasure hosting this conversation. I hope everyone enjoyed it.
Thanks so much, Allison.
Thank you.
Thanks, Allison.